And I'm Dennis O'Hare. When football season starts in just a few weeks, fans headed to the Georgia Dome will notice the new and developing Falcon Stadium next door. Now, all that construction includes cranes, backhoes, fences, and bare concrete. Pretty much feel like fixtures by now. The new Falcon Stadium is scheduled to open in 2017, and meanwhile, the Atlanta Braves will begin playing in the new SunTrust Park, also in 2017.
And so we continue our series under construction about Atlanta's sports stadiums and their effect on the shape of the city. Today, we're going to focus on how stadiums can change the ecology and environment nearby. And joining Closer Look to talk about all this is Tim Kellenson. Now, he's an assistant professor in the Department of Tourism, Recreation, and Sports Management at the University of Florida. Well, he'll soon be moving up north to teach at Georgia State. Professor Kellenson, thanks for taking the time. We appreciate it.
Oh, thanks so much for having me.
You know, when teams try to address environmental issues created by stadiums and stadium construction, more and more teams are trying to address this issue. So what are they looking for first?
Yeah, well, I guess the first thing that any team should do when they're trying to limit their impact on the environment, it happens before the first foundations are poured, dealing with sustainable sites and trying to locate the best place for a stadium. And often this includes whether it's in the urban core in the downtown area or if moving out of town, trying to limit the impact on sensitive areas, trying to protect open spaces and farmland. And it moves much further than that. So after you select the site, you care about how you're going to connect individuals to those sites, how you're going to get fans to those locations. And so making sure that there's adequate transportation and thinking about how you can encourage carpooling, bicycling, things like that. Now, that obviously becomes more difficult depending on where you're going to locate your stadium. So the initial location and linkages of these sites are kind of the first step in creating developing a pro-environmental stadium.
So let's look at the two stadiums here under construction in our area. We've got SunTrust Park in Cobb County and, of course, the new Atlanta Falcons Stadium in downtown Atlanta. You've studied both of these. I suspect, though, they differ in terms of issues related to the environment.
Oh, they certainly do. I think the biggest, I guess, if you're going to compare the two, one of the things that I look at, one of the things I study is how teams are promoting their pro-environmental facilities and their policies and environmental stewardship. And if you were to examine the kind of promotion that both teams are presenting right now to the public, the Falcons are really promoting and pushing this environmental initiative. They're talking about the pursuit of LEED certification, which I know the Braves have as well, but the Falcons are talking about all the great things that they're planning to do inside the stadium. And there's less promotion on the Braves' part. Now, that doesn't mean that they're not going to pursue the same same types of standards or adhere to the same promotions, but certainly the public attention is being drawn to the Falcon Stadium.
Yeah, I was looking at their green initiative, and it's very detailed. Everything from light bulbs to recycling paper and plastic, to even stationery on. And business cards on material that's 100% post-consumer waste. But does that add up to, when you're talking about a project on this scale, does that add up to an overall lessening of the environmental impact when you're talking about a massive project like this?
Yeah, that's a great question. Certainly in many ways, these giant mega stadiums, they're kind of antithetical to green building. They don't really make sense. If you think about on game days, the huge strain that they create on local resources, they draw tens of thousands of people, although that's not always the case, depending on how the team
depends on how the Falcons
are. Yes.
That's right. But, the goal is to draw lots of people to the stadium, and that creates a lot of traffic, and that creates a lot of air pollution. And if you think about a place like a football stadium or even a ballpark, they're used pretty infrequently versus, a business building or anything that's going to be open 365 days a year. These places, for the most part, are pretty seasonal. Some of them, the events are less than 10 times a year. And then you've got other major stadiums. If you think about the Olympic stadiums or the World Cup stadiums, a lot of the research has shown, a lot of the media coverage, if you look at, for example, in Greece, what happens to the stadiums when they're done, mm-hmm. most of the time they're abandoned, or not most of the time, but, often they are. And that's obviously not what you're looking for, but they don't always make sense. But teams are increasingly demonstrating that they are aware of the potential to impact the environment, and I guess putting their best effort into minimizing it, certainly not reducing it to nothing or making it better, but reducing it as best they can.
But in the Falcons' case, they're tearing something down, too. You've got the Georgia Dome going down after a relatively short lifespan. Is that factored into the kinds of things that you study when you look at the environmental impact of a new stadium project? And how does a team, an organization like the Falcons, try to minimize that, or do they?
Yeah, certainly the greenest thing you can do for a stadium is keep it up and keep it running as long as you possibly can. And I think that in Atlanta, you're seeing in the case of all three of the big three sports teams, that's not the case, and it's going to be hard for teams to argue that what they're doing is improving it. I think one of the clearest examples is now the talks around Philips Arena, mm-hmm. which was one of the earliest LEED certified stadiums across all the major league sports. And LEED certification just started in 2008, and Philips Arena a little bit older than that. But to tear down a green stadium that's less than 20 years old, it certainly defeats the purpose of kind of the long-term life cycle savings that you want to accrue. So most of these stadiums, they're not going to immediately realize the cost premiums that you pay on the front end to make them sustainable. So it takes time. It doesn't take a lot of time, but certainly the longer you can keep a facility up, which history shows that some of these places, they can last a long time. They don't start crumbling completely. If you think of, for example, Soldier Field in Chicago, it was built in the 20s, mm-hmm. and it's LEED certified now. So these facilities can last a long time. That's what they're built for. But as Neil DeMoss said yesterday, you don't necessarily need to do that. If you can get the money to build a new stadium, you're certainly going to find other ways to make money.
We're speaking with Professor Tim Kellison. He's from the University of Florida. We're talking about the effect of sports stadiums on the environment. And Professor, let's sort of just put this out there, because one would argue, in listening to everything that you've talked about and what we started with yesterday, is that, look, an owner wants a new stadium. Is sustainability really that important to them? Or are they just going to use that as a marketing tool and also to get the public to buy in to, look, not only are you just getting a brand new stadium, but we're environmentally conscious, and this is going to be great for the environment. I mean, just sort of playing the other side here, the bottom line is they want a new stadium.
There's no doubt about that. There's no question that that's the main goal. And I think that in many ways the sustainable, agenda is kind of an afterthought or something that comes after, securing of public funds or even private funding for a new stadium. So I guess the best way of looking at it is, well, at least they're doing something. So, yeah, I don't think that there's any owner who's going to tear down a new state or an old stadium just to build a new one for the sake of helping the environment. No, I don't think there's anyone out there who does. Now, there's certainly some owners, and I think they're in the minority, who really approach these things on the front end. But it really takes a lot of pressure from consumers. Architecture firms nowadays are providing additional, maybe not pressure, but they have demonstrated their abilities to create these technologies or develop them in ways that kind of complement the smart design of these facilities. So it's harder and harder, no matter what you do now with a new stadium, to not make it green. You really got to go out of your way not to make it sustainable.
Because you've heard people talk about in sort of marketing the stadiums, we're going to have, low flow toilets in the bathrooms, and, I'm not trying to be funny, but it's just the amount of marketing that goes into letting the public know how sustainable or sustainability was the at the top of the list for these new stadiums, and you know, you're the taxpayer, on you're saying, you know what, okay, but is that really the goal here? Is it, do you want a new stadium, or are you really saying we need a new stadium because it'll be great for the environment, and really it's because you want a new stadium?
Yeah, you're right. There are, the teams have been able to leverage their the public perception in a way that helps kind of them support whatever their cause is. And in this case, their cause is getting a new stadium, preferably public funded, and they're successful in pretty much every example.
Jerry Jones, that big, huge stadium down there in Arlington, is that, where did that rank on the environmental list?
Yeah, well, it's not LEED certified.
I didn't think it was.
Now, certainly, now that doesn't mean it's not sustainable. Some of the greenest stadiums in the NFL are not LEED certified, and that's just kind of a philosophical policy that certain teams have, that they don't need to be LEED certified to be green. Now, interestingly, I remember reading a couple of years ago that AT&T Stadium, where the Cowboys play, I think it said something like they consume more energy or electricity on a game day than the entire country of, I think it was Liberia. And of course, that's just a sensationalized.
And that's just for the giant screen, right?
Exactly.
Right. Yeah.
Real quickly, and I apologize for interrupting you here, but we're very short of time.
Please do.
There is, though, and a lot of these stadia are also kind of pitched as development tools, not just for a city, but for an area. So let's take the Falcons Stadium. Yes, it's going up right next to an existing stadium, but you could make the argument, okay, it may not be on the whole terribly environmentally sound, but compared to what? Presumably, if you're developing a neighborhood, you're trying to revitalize a neighborhood, something is going to go there, if not a stadium. So how do you compare an environmental impact of a stadium to, say, a mixed-use development or a giant big-box store, for instance?
Yeah, I think that's a good point. I don't know that the comparison is completely necessary. I think that if a team is going to promote a new stadium with the promise of revitalizing an urban core or neighborhoods or connecting schools and shops and homes, then I think that puts the onus on the team to kind of demonstrate that. And if you think about what happened with Turner Field or Olympic Stadium 20 years ago, that stadium was built where it was with, in some ways, with the promise of doing great things for the neighborhood. And here we are 20 years later, and the Braves are moving away, and you can see, I mean, you can kind of make your own judgment on whether the stadium was successful in revitalizing those areas. I would suspect, though, that if it was successful and that they were going to, you know, create, you know, the business businesses and schools that they anticipated, then the Braves wouldn't be looking for a new stadium.
Professor Tim Kellison is with the University of Florida. He has been looking at the effects on the environment of all the new stadium projects, not just here, but all over the place. And he's about to move from the University of Florida to this neck of the woods. He'll be teaching at Georgia State. Professor Kellison, thanks so much. And we'll continue our series, and hope we'll talk to you again soon.
Thank you, Professor.
Thank you.